All right. Thank you so much, Bo and Brenda. Go tell it on the mountain. Isn't that good news? Jesus was born and Jesus is coming again. I like that added to it as well. And we also need to add, go tell it to the city. What do you say? Go tell it to the cities. And that's what we're trying to do. And if you'd like to help out, come on out on Wednesday evening. Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we're having a special organizational meeting. Brian McMahon will be there, kind of a little rally, as well as get information that you need to get involved in helping out with the meetings that are coming up a week from tonight. A week from tonight. So praise God and pray to God that good things will happen. What do you say? All right. Well, happy Sabbath. Happy New Year. And happy new you. How many are looking forward to being a better person this year? Anybody? All right, good. Well, what if it comes true? What if you do have a better year this year than we had last year? Would that be a good thing? All right, well, I'm going to talk about that right now. So before I do, let's pray. Father in heaven, again today, we just want to come into your presence. We want to ask for you to touch our lives, touch our hearts, speak to us, bless us for being here today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. So what if 2016 was twice as good as 2015? You think that's possible? What about 10 times? What about 100 times better than last year? Wouldn't that be great? That would be fantastic. Well, how is it possible? Is it possible? The only way that it's possible is if things change, right? If things are different. The only way for things to improve is for things to change, for things to be different. Maybe you've heard that definition of insanity that goes something like this, where you do the same thing, but you're expecting different results. That's insanity, right? That's insane. It's not going to happen that way. So if you want a better year this year than you had last year, something has to be different. Something needs to change. Is it time for a change in your life? Yeah. How can change happen? Is change possible at all? I thought this was an interesting slide here. See if I can read it. Research has repeatedly shown that talk therapy works. I'm a licensed clinical psychologist with over 15 years' experience assisting clients and creating change in their lives. I look forward to assisting you in moving beyond your current situation and toward the change you desire. Bottom line, change is possible. You believe that? Change is possible. Let me hear you say that. Change is possible. All right, that's good news, isn't it? So, talk therapy works. Change is possible. Therefore, I'm going to begin talking to you. Is that all right? Talk therapy starts now. How about that? So that change can happen. Yes, change is possible. But not only is change possible, change is welcome. Isn't it? Change is welcome. Do you welcome change? You invite change? You want some change? Sure, most people do. We celebrate change. We celebrate it. We just celebrated change the other day on the calendar, right? New Year's Day comes in with a great celebration, and all that happens is there's a number change on the calendar, but we celebrate it big time. But what about change in your life? What about change in your lifestyle? Is that worth celebrating as well? Sure it is. We love to celebrate change, good things that happen to us. For example, let's take weight loss. Now, a lot of people are making resolutions, and weight loss is just one possibility. There may be lots of other things that you're thinking about for your resolution or for the new you in this new year. Many people, though, make weight loss a resolution for the new year. And they welcome the change when it comes. They even celebrate it, right? When they lose some weight, yeah, that's a good thing. Just don't celebrate by eating, okay? Pick something different than that. Here's an example. Sean Phillips Sean Phillips, on June in 2014, he weighed 453 pounds. Since then, he has lost 255 pounds. Now he weighs 198 pounds, and he looks kind of happy about it, don't you think? Yeah. Celebrating it. So if you're hoping to lose some weight, take courage, because change is possible. Change is possible, even if you need lots of it. Lots of change is possible. Change is possible. David Brazil, he lost 189 pounds. He was in his 30s. And as he took a look at his life, he didn't think he would live past his 50s. So he did something about it. And for David, change was not only possible, it was nice. It was nice. It was necessary. And he welcomed the change. Change is good, but change sometimes is needed, right? Change is necessary. So let me hear you say that. Change is necessary. Good, you did it. And there are others for whom change is also necessary. For example, there are people with addictions that need change. They need change in their lives, and for them, change is possible. Somebody say amen to that. It's a good thing. And we've all seen these before and after pictures of people who go from bad to worse. This guy was 40. When he was 44, he looked like that. This lady was 21. But when she was 31, she looked like that. Some of people get unrecognizable in their former selves. They go from bad to worse. That is not the direction of change that is welcome, right? But what about seeing people go from bad to good? That's a better direction. That kind of change is welcome, isn't it? So let's take a look at some people like that. Here's a picture of Sarah. Sarah, she had been an addict for 16 years. But now, through fitness and faith, she is sober. Can you say amen to that? She looks so much happier. For her, change was possible and also welcome. Change was welcome. Here's a picture of Christine. At age 26, there we go, after 5 years of using meth and opiates, then now, 1 year after being clean and sober at age 27, she looks a lot better, doesn't she? She looks happier. For her, change was not only possible, but it was welcome. These are major changes for the better. Changes are sometimes necessary. And it's interesting when you read this, it says, most recovering addicts say that seeing others in successful recovery was one of their biggest motivators in recovering themselves. By sharing these transformations, you can help those still in the throes of addiction and their families see that getting clean is possible. So please help spread the hope. Don't you want to be agents of change by spreading the hope? Share the love by spreading the hope. Share the stories of people overcoming. Help those who are struggling to have hope, to seek the help that will make a difference. Change is possible. Change is necessary. And say this last one with me. Change is good. Change is good. Change is good when you go from obese to healthy. Change is good when you go from addiction to sobriety. Change is good when you change your beliefs to follow God. Somebody say amen to that. That can be good too, right? One day a Bible worker knocked on the door of a lady named Rhiannon. And Rhiannon was the mother of two. She was in her 30s. She opened the door. She let the Bible worker in. And Rhiannon began to share her painful story. Things that had happened in her life. And the Bible worker, she felt impressed right then and there to pray with Rhiannon. And so they stopped and prayed right there. And they asked the Lord to restore what the enemy had taken away from her in her life. And during that prayer, Rhiannon began to cry. And so the Bible worker got up and comforted her. And she said something very interesting. She said, "You still look beautiful through tears. you still look beautiful with tears. And Rhiannon said, I was praying before you came. God, what's my purpose? I don't have friends or anyone. And all of a sudden, you came to my door and asked if I wanted to study the Bible with you. I thank God that He sent someone to me to study the Bible with me. He sent me a friend. And Rhiannon continued on by saying, I want to study the Bible more. And in fact, I've been thinking about going to church. I just don't know which the right church is to go to. And then the Bible worker invited Rhiannon to her church. And Rhiannon looked down and she said, which church do you go to? And the Bible worker said, well, actually, I go to church on Saturday. Rhiannon looked up and said, Saturday? Wait, Saturday? You mean Sabbath? Yes, Saturday the Sabbath, the Bible worker replied. Again, she asked, you mean you go to church on Sabbath, the seventh day? And she looked up with joy and she raised her hands and she said, truly there is a God. And she started to weep again and she said, God just answered another prayer. You see, Rhiannon had prayed, God, if Saturday is truly the day of worship, then please confirm it. Show me a sign. And then you showed up and invited me to church on Sabbath, Saturday, the seventh day. And she looked down at her Bible and she hugged it to her heart with tears in her eyes. You see, there are people like that out there. People who want change, people who want the truth of God's Word so they can follow it. People who want to change their beliefs in order to be faithful to God. And next Saturday night, we're going to have a seminar right here for people just like that. It's exciting, isn't it? It's exciting. And I hope you're praying about that. It's huge. It's very interesting. Ellen White wrote something years ago describing people just like Rhiannon. This is what she said. I saw them holding papers and tracts in one hand and the Bible in another. While their cheeks were wet with tears, bowing before God in earnest, humble prayer to be guided into all truth. And when the truth was received in their hearts and they saw the harmonious chain of truth, the Bible was to them a new book. They hugged it to their hearts with grateful joy while their countenances were all aglow with happiness and holy joy. Written over 100 years ago. That sounds an awful lot like Rhiannon, doesn't it? Well, the one who shared that story with me is going to be one of our Bible workers coming here tomorrow and being here this next week for the next few months. So we look forward to our new Bible workers coming. Can you say amen to that? Amen. And reaching people in the community here, just like Rhiannon. Change in beliefs is wonderful change too, isn't it? It's a wonderful, joyful thing. It's a welcome thing. Change is welcome. Can you say that? Change is welcome. Change is welcome. And when our beliefs come into harmony with God and His Word, it's a welcome change. And what if all of us experience more of that kind of change this next year? What do you say? Would that be a welcome change for you? In Ephesians chapter 5, verses 1 and 2, it says this. It says, therefore, be imitators of God as dear children. And walk in love. Walk in what? Love. As Christ also has loved us and given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma. A few verses earlier in chapter 4, verses 31 and 32, it describes what it means by walking in love, walking in the love of Christ. It says this. It says, "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, along with all malice as well." In verse 32, "And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." That's good stuff, isn't it? Very good stuff. Well, you see, the disciples of Jesus, they had problems. They had some problems with all these negative characteristics up here. That's what they were dealing with. And they needed all these positive ones instead. And it all kind of came to a head the night that Jesus was betrayed. You see, on that night, all of His disciples were vying for the top position. My opinion is what matters. My group is what's important. And they were all clamoring for a place of supremacy. But it was time for the Last Supper. The disciples were battling with one another. And Jesus stooped down to serve them, to wash their feet. And Jesus cut right across the grain of their evil characters, and that was shocking to them. But it was a catalyst for change. It wasn't really pleasant at the time. But later it would become a most welcome change. That supper was quickly followed by another even more shocking thing that happened, and that was Jesus was crucified. The one they thought they loved and wanted to serve was cruelly killed right before their eyes. To say that that was devastating would be a huge understatement. Huge understatement. But that event too also would produce a welcome change. You see, it would bring salvation to the world, all those that would accept it. And it would change the hearts of those who would let it. And then there was the resurrection of Jesus. That too completely changed the disciples. It restored their hope that Jesus was the true Messiah, the true and victorious Son of God. And that was perhaps the most welcome change of all. It changed their heart, their mind, and their character forever. They began to live like the book of Ephesians encourages us to live in love toward one another. Ephesians 4, 31 and 32 again. "Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you, with all malice as well. And instead, be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you." What if that was how we live toward one another? What if that was the change that we experienced in 2016? A new oneness, a new togetherness, a new purpose, a new sense of mission, a new ministry of reconciliation toward one another. That would make this new year, 2016, a powerful year. What do you say? Let's make today the start of a new and better year. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for the grace that you've extended to all of us, giving us hope. There's hope for everyone here today. everyone in this world because of Jesus. Thank you for the hope that we can move on, that our lives can be different, that there can be change in every one of us. So help us to move forward in faith with that great hope today. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. This time we're going to separate for the foot washing. There's a place for women and men and families in the next building over there. And also when you come back, be sure to remember that there's seated only every other pew. That's so that the deacons can serve the emblems when we come back. So God bless you. We'll see you back here in just a few moments.